The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already ablaze. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided. 3 against 2 and 2 against 3, they will be divided. Father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. It was June 5th of 1995, and I was standing on the stage in the Redland High School auditorium. And I was, of course, not alone. Present in the seats were students and their diverse families. Before being introduced, I had witnessed the academic procession, the singing of Kumbaya and Amazing Grace, the call to worship, invocation, and the reading of the Holy Scriptures by one Reverend Clyde Michener from the Redland Valley Brethren in Christ Church. I had enjoyed renditions of the Lord's Prayer and Battle Hymn of the Republic performed by the Redland Chamber Singers, accompanied by the Redland String Ensemble and the Redland Baccalaureate Brass. Thus the stage was set, as it were, for the baccalaureate message, whatever that was supposed to be. The tradition at the school was to find religious leaders and the families of graduating seniors to help lead this service. With my consent, I had been given the task of offering a message to those present because, according to my son, the other graduating senior didn't want his father to do it. After hearing the prayers offered by the young man's father, I suspect the young man's father might have attempted to convert everyone present to his version of the Christian faith if he had delivered the message. And therein is the challenge of such services. How much of the faith can one compromise and remain faithful to one's given creed? How can a Christian interact with those of other religions, other variations of one's own faith, or no faith at all? And for now, I will put aside any conflicts present in such services between religion and the secular world. America the Beautiful would follow my message. I, like perhaps many of you, must have heard it 1,000 times. It usually occurred when I was leaving the house. My mother would say, now remember to behave yourself and keep in mind who you are. With similar words, most of us were probably reminded during our growing up days that we represented our families wherever we went. Family was very much sacred to me as I was growing up. So too was the Christian faith I had been taught. I was to represent that too. Because family is so sacred to many people, it is somewhat surprising to hear Jesus' remarks about division in families. After all, isn't the church supposed to promote strong family ties and values? Isn't it true that many families join a church because of the hope that it will strengthen the bond within the family? The author of Luke presents a disturbing Jesus in chapter 12. He is on his way to Jerusalem and tells his followers that he has come to bring fire and division to those who would take up his path. Families will be divided over their loyalty to him and to each other. This is no gentle Jesus, meek and mild, but a Lord who demands all of our loyalty, even if it creates conflict within our families. After all, when you look at Jesus' treatment of his own earthly family, this should not come as a surprise. When he was born, Simeon predicted that Jesus would be opposed by many, and that his mother Mary would feel pain like a sword piercing her heart. Then at age 12, he ran away from his parents and let them search for him for 3 days. He responded to their concerns by suggestion. They should have known where he was going. He would be in his father's temple. He didn't understand why he was, being worried over. And then there was the time when his brothers and mother were waiting outside for him. Thus he was told. He responded by saying that his mother and brothers were all the people who heard the word of God and obeyed it. In other words, Jesus redefines our understanding of family. Family is no longer based on last names or bloodlines, but on the water bath called baptism. It is quite shocking when one considers the Christian community of churches today, just how divided and broken we are as we all claim Christ as Lord. How are we to deal with such differences without pitting ourselves against one another? A Roman Catholic bishop named Frederick Henry of Calgary, a man of deep faith, a man who loved his church, sees a rising tide of fundamentalism in the church. In a keynote address, he said that fundamentalism derives from the profound fear of thinking and offers a false hope of faith without ambiguity. He goes on to say, "We can never do theology well unless we have the humility and the courage to listen to the arguments of those with whom we disagree and take them seriously. Debate and argument is a sign of a church which is always renewed by the Spirit. We must not be afraid to listen with respect to those who hold a different perspective from us. Often it is our own sense of righteousness more than our faith in Christ that keeps us from coming to any understanding of our differences. Self-righteousness builds walls of separation. Debate and arguments exercised with integrity and respect can lead us to a spirit of openness to God's truth." The word liminality is a word that is sometimes used in theological discussions. It offers the sense of living on the edge, of maintaining the fine balance between what appears to be polar opposites. It is a difficult position to maintain because most of us tend to fall into one side or the other. It is the opposite of fundamentalism, but neither is it liberalism. Like a tightrope walker, liminality demands great courage. Most of us are afraid of falling and hurting ourselves, so we choose to play it safe. We plant ourselves firmly on one side of an issue or on the other. There we feel as though on solid ground. Theologically, when we talk about God, too, we don't get into too much trouble. We take a firm stand and resist any effort to move beyond our secure position. We may pride ourselves on being faithful and condemn those who think or behave differently from us. But Christ was not like that. He lived that fine line of truth. Jesus remained faithful to his heavenly Father and to the law, but he questioned both. Remember his words from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Or recall the incident when he defies the law and heals on the Sabbath. He condemns sin but embraced sinners. It was the too evidently righteous Pharisees that evoked his condemnation, a kind of righteousness that rigidly believed that God's will could always be nailed down by human beings. Today's gospel reading challenges us to embrace liminality in our lives. It takes courage and fidelity to walk the fine line of faith in Christ and not succumb to pressure from contentious sides. One side that our gospel reading today pierces is the notion that Christ came only to bring peace, unity, and love. The radical nature of Jesus' words demands a definitive choice, a fine line that finds its center in the contradiction of the cross. The life of the follower of Jesus will be purified in the fire of discord and division before it is glorified in the joy of eternal life. Even the intimacy of family life would experience discord and division as it moved towards oneness, towards unity. Jesus' words today caution us that being committed to him and his church affects not just our relationship with treasure and our sense of moral responsibility. We've heard about such things the last few weeks. But also our relationship to others, even those closest to us, like our family members. Because of our commitment to Christ, we are to be mindful that our values, our goals, and pattern of life represent the faith that we have received through the Spirit. Some of the most unexpected crises we face come from the opposition of others when we set out to do what we perceive to be the good, moral, and right thing. And Jesus knew how devastating such crises can be, and he wanted his followers to be prepared to be encountered by them as he was. Now, I suspect that back on June 5th in 1995, that the Reverend Clyde Michener thought that he was doing the right, the faithful thing, when he offered those Jesus-centered evangelistic prayers to see if perhaps a new Christian might be found among the diverse audience in that auditorium at Redland High School. Just as I believed that I was being faithful to my calling as a minister of the gospel in such a situation to choose a reading from Genesis that at least acknowledged the presence of Christians and Jews and Muslims and hopefully others, and offered a message that emphasized to the graduating students their God-given freedom to choose the future pathway of their lives. To be sure, there are Christians who would emphatically support either one of these approaches to this challenging situation and not the other. Just as there is much conflict about the proclamation of the pure gospel message at weddings and funerals, the role of our missionaries in the world, how much service, how much converting people, the proper use of a sacred worship space like ours, and wherever someone is present and does not totally agree with our personal understanding of the faith, including at our dinner tables. Jesus said that he came to bring fire, and so he did. But let us not be so surprised by this that we forget that we are to represent the love of Christ to our families and to the world, even in the midst of the fire that Jesus brought. Amen.